It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, good morning, welcome on in. I'm Charlie Arnold. Oh, late night for me last night. No, I was not out partying. I was staying up watching the State of the Union. Thank you, Joe Biden, for being late to your own address, one that you had on the calendar for a year now. But it's okay. Showing up 15, 20 minutes late, no big deal. So if you slept through it, totally understand. And that's why I have you covered. Joe Biden, probably late, because he needed help putting on his pants at the White House. I mean, there was probably something very small that he just could not get out the door fast enough. But again, we've got you covered because according to our president, everything is fine. Everything is totally fine. The State of the Union, strong. But it's so easy to realize how untrue that is, considering our open southern border, inflation, our tanking economy, rising crime, the inability for police to do their jobs, our desperate need to get involved in overseas conflict that have nothing to do with us. But yeah, according to our gaslighting president, we're in great shape. Listen.
Because of you, America's coming back. It's because of you, our future is brighter. It's because of you that tonight we can proudly say the state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Absolutely true. And let's just be honest here, that Billy Madison soundbite, I never thought there would be any other context in the history of ever that it would make so much sense as it does now. I mean, that is legitimately the most perfect soundbite we could have put in to sum up the incoherent rant that was Joe Biden's State of the Union last night. But let's get back to it. Before Joe even started this speech, Marjorie Taylor Greene asked Biden to do something he has yet to do, despite having cold blood on his hands, and that was say Laken Riley's name. And that's when you could just see his brain was already starting to break. Watch.
Laken Riley.
Laken Riley. I know how to say the name.
Laken Riley. Say your name, Mr. President.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. President. Leader, how are you?
Good.
Well, if he knows how to say her name, which he just clearly stated that he did, then why can't he just say it? Oh, yeah, that's because he doesn't care. However, later in the night, MTG chimed in again, yelling, demanding for Biden to say Laken's name. And guess what? He finally said a name. It just wasn't her name. Watch.
I'd be a winner. Not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
So we're clear. Laken Riley is incorrect. That is a college football coach's name. Completely despicable to get this wrong. The teleprompter did not prepare him for that one, and it showed, also showing his lack of compassion for a poor, innocent young woman who was murdered just weeks ago. Also, we need to address the other disgusting elephant in the room, and that is Kamala Harris's smug grin when Joe Biden does botch the name. Mike Johnson tipped his head down, shaking it just a little bit. He knew that it was horrible, but Kamala Harris decided, I don't know, it was worth a little bit of a grin. But another big buzz stirring part of all of this was Biden calling Jose Ibarra, that was the illegal that killed Lake and Riley. He called him an illegal, which is what he was. And it prompted reaction from Squad's Ilhan Omar, who posted this on X. Let me be clear. No human being is illegal. This is what she's worried about. Has she once addressed the horrible crime that was committed? Have any of the Democrats addressed the horrible crime that was committed? No, they have not. All that gets them worked up, riled up, is the fact that he used the term illegal to talk about someone who was in our country illegally. I mean, the fact of the matter is he walked through the southern border undocumented. That is considered illegal. So Joe Biden, at least we will say thank you for addressing this murderer for what he was. In shame on Ilhan Omar for paying attention to this detail and not the rest of the horrible thing that happened in our country again just weeks ago. But now for more reaction, let's go ahead and bring in my good friend, Joe Concha, Fox contributor, to get into this a little bit more. Joe, I know we both watched the same State of the Union last night. I was floored. Yeah. What was your immediate reaction from what you saw?
Well, I'm with you on the whole. Just get to somewhere on time. It's not like, you know, you or me where maybe you got to jump on a subway and the subway's running late, or you call an Uber and the guy doesn't show up. You have an entire motorcade and this thing didn't start till like 20 minutes later, which if you're working early like we are, is not fun. But look,
exactly.
To use a Bidenism, seriously, I mean, here's the deal. The president was going to get thrown bouquets of flowers regardless on how this went. I mean, you just go back and read the headlines from a year ago, 2023. It's like deja vu all over again. Biden showed passion, vigor, stamina, right? This is the same thing last year. If Joe Biden did a 70-minute press conference with actual journalists asking those questions where he's outside the teleprompter, because you just showed, Charlie, what happens when he strays even for a second outside of it, he gets the name of a girl who was brutally murdered at the University of Georgia, gets the name wrong, because that shows you how much he's been paying attention to this. But last mm-hmm. night, here's all this was, because you see the media right now, Charlie, and they are just like, this was the speech of Joe Biden's life. This is where it all turns around in terms of the campaign. Donald Trump's probably trembling. All he did outside of one or two little instances was read a speech he practiced for a week off a teleprompter. He beat expectations because expectations were as low as a speed bump. But the thing about State of the Union addresses,
yes.
They tend to be forgotten, right? I mean, can you remember one thing that any president said during a State of the Union where you're like, wow, you could quote it back like Billy Madison? You can't. So I don't think this moves the needle at all. That was a speech for MSNBC crowd, CNN crowd, New York Times crowd, and not those independents he needs to win in states like Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan.
Well, you know what was interesting, though, is while so many people were giving him flowers because, you know, again, the bar was set, I mean, lower than I can even portray on screen right now. There was someone on CNN last night who started ripping Joe Biden, saying he was talking about snacks and Snickers before he even got to the southern border. So yeah. I understand that people don't expect much from Joe Biden, but people are starting to pay attention a little bit more. And I hope after last night, especially after him saying Lake and Riley's name incorrect, even more people are starting to pay attention. There was also a heckler in the crowd. There was a Gold Star dad who was in the back screaming about his son who was killed overseas in Afghanistan, along with 12 more of his Marine brothers. And Joe Biden didn't even address it. Instead, he was arrested, escorted promptly out. It just really goes to show where our president's priorities are these days. But
Charlie,
also, before the
ahead.
Speech, yeah, go for it.
No, I want to hear the rest of what you got to say. You're far more interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say shows where his priorities are these days. And it's really just sad that's the speech we got and we all should be satisfied with it. That was not a State of the Union address.
Oh, no, that was more like the Democratic National Convention, right? That was an angry campaign speech. And the performance art was there, yes. But what was said would not make anybody believe that Biden's going to pivot to do anything differently than he did during the first 3 years of his presidency. It's like in football, you're going to run the same offense with the same quarterback over and over again, and you're getting beat 28-7, and you're still like, nope, we're sticking to the plan. I would have liked to have heard a pivot. You know, for example, you want to talk about the border, and then, of course, he blames Republicans for not passing a toothless bill that didn't have water, border wall construction, didn't have Remain in Mexico, didn't eviscerate catch and release. So they were against it. Yes, rightly. And here you have a president who says, well, it's their fault, and that's the reason why the border is where it is. No, Mr. President, you could have used that platform last night, 20, 25 million people, to say, you know what? I'm reversing three executive orders that I signed my first day in office. We will resume wall construction. Remaining in Mexico will come back, and we will end catch and release. If he said that, I would have stood up and applauded and said, good, finally, you get it. And he'd probably win the election if he did that. But instead, let's stick to the status quo, put our head in the sand, and pretend that everything is going great in this country, where most people know it is not.
Well, good thing we weren't holding our breath for any of that last night, Joe. Otherwise, we would all be dead this morning. But speaking of the State of the Union, before it even took place, I just feel like sometimes we're living in a real life comedy skit. It truly does feel that way during so many moments. President Biden actually invited Hollywood stars who have played a commander in chief or a president of a nation to give him advice on how to deliver the State of the Union before it took place. We'll watch a clip of it, and then we'll start to react, because, again, this just feels like a real-life comedy skit.
All right.
I never spoke to so many presidents all at one time. Some of you might know what a big speech like I have to do is coming up to State of the Union. Any advice you have for me in delivering my speech?
Well, sir, in my capacity as president, all I had to deal with was a meteor. One of the things that I came out of that with in my speech to people, hope. Hope is the strongest force we have on this thing. It is the most useful and the most effective. My advice is just keep telling us how you're working for us and building hope.
Well, Mr. President, you know, looking back at my own presidency, I behaved very badly in a lot of situations. In preparation for your speech, it's just there was one sort of piece of advice and that meant a lot to me when I was president. And so I just wanted to share that really quick with you. Tell them that you exist for them. Tell them that they make you a better man. And that's pretty much it. And also, when I used to give big speeches, I would always wind down with popcorn and red wine. So, but I know for you, that would be ice cream. Do that with ice cream. I highly encourage it.
I know from experience, obviously, what a tough job it is.
Oh, my gosh. The crazy part about all of this is I honestly feel like Joe was probably like taking notes. He's like, okay, Morgan Freeman says, give the people hope. Give the people hope. Like, I honestly feel like Joe Biden probably was actually taking notes, because these are things that didn't actually occur organically in his own brain and even his speechwriters, because let's be honest, we know Joe Biden wasn't writing any of his State of the Union address, not one word of it, except for Lincoln Riley. He wrote that. I even feel like his campaign team was like, give them hope. That's a great idea. We haven't done that yet. Write that down. Give them hope. Joe, when I saw this, when it was sent to me initially, I thought that it was a spoof. And then I saw it came from the official POTUS account. And I'm like, wait, you actually then promoted this? You allowed people to... I'm a little shocked. What about you?
Well, after the Cookie Monster thing earlier this week, right, where you had the president, the Cookie Monster, and PBS, and Sherrod Brown over in Ohio, senators at risk of getting beaten, all talking about shrinkflation and how Cookie Monster will have to buy double the cookies just to get the same amount, and the president's actually touting this as a good economic policy or something to attack in an election year. Once we saw Cookie Monster, then once I saw this, I go, all right, again, there's that bar in that place that we can't even bend our backs down enough to get over. Look, a couple of things to unpack here from this video. For starters, I will spot Biden maybe knowing who Morgan Freeman is. right? Given the ages, perhaps, maybe. But then after that, he probably was looking at all these people on the screen saying, who the hell is Gina Davis? You know, who's Tony Goldwyn? Who's Bill Pullman, the guy who played the president in Independence Day? And then he probably looked at Michael Douglas, who was also on that video, and said, when did Kirk Douglas ever play a president? Thinking it was Kirk instead of Michael. So that's that for starters. But seriously, if you're Martin Sheen, aren't you pissed right now? You're like, wait a minute. I'm considered the best fictional president of all time, and they couldn't put me in here. He's a huge liberal. But overall, Charlie, here you had the White House comms team think it was a really good idea to show a president in Biden, who some people think is fake, taking advice from other fake presidents on how to read a speech. That's probably not a good look, I'm thinking.
I would agree with you. But moving on to another topic, because I feel like we could just completely bash our president all day long in the, the very abysmal performance that he gave at the State of the Union. We could go on for ages. But we also, now it's time to really give credence to the people who deserve some promotion, and that is OutKick's Riley Gaines, who was on Joe Rogan's podcast. First, let's just say, wow, to get on Joe Rogan's podcast is such a huge accomplishment, so hats off to her. But today is International Women's Day, Joe, so make sure there are the special women in your life deserve a little bit of extra praise today. You know, once you get out of there, go make some pancakes, waffles, eggs, bacon, put it on the table for the fam.
French toast.
Ooh, yum. Yes. So she was on Joe Rogan's podcast. She talked about a myriad of different topics. But the first thing that she addressed was the strong leadership that she feels is lacking from the men in this country. Let's take a listen.
That right there is what this nation, again, really this world is lacking, is strong leadership, strong male leadership in particular. We don't see a lot of these men, right? We picture men as these like dominant, aggressive, assertive leaders who protect and provide. Our nation is failing because we don't have those male leaders. We don't have people who are who have backbones and a moral compass.
Well, I would totally agree with her in many senses. I wouldn't say all. I think there are still plenty of strong men out there, but I think even just starting with our president, you know, he doesn't have much of a backbone. I feel like Kamala Harris has more of a backbone than he does. And that's just one example for a lot of the men that we see in this country who aren't really resonating. They're not the same type of men that they used to breed. You know, when I look at my father's generation, when I look at my grandfather's generation, I don't know. What do you attribute it to, Joe? And how do we turn it around?
I think we need more coaches in government. Right. I'm sure that Riley Gaines is swim coach at Kentucky. Probably a tough nut. Right. My football coach in high school, former Marine and Navy SEAL. You can only imagine what it was like to play for a guy like that. But we went undefeated state champs. Yay. And I sound like Al Bundy right now. But the point is that, yeah, I think the type of people that we're attracting into government are like the George Santos's type. And by the way, does this guy have any shame? He shows up there last night. I still have a pass, dude. How much can one person embarrass themselves? But you see the way he's dressed and the way he looks. And I don't know. There just aren't enough alphas, I think, in government like we used to see with Ronald Reagan. John F. Kennedy was a badass, by the way. I mean, this guy was former military. His boat sank. He ended up getting to an island. He saved his whole crew. This is a Democrat we're talking about. But I did a book and I did a lot of research on him recently. So I'm like, Kennedy, you know, that's a man's man. Reagan, man's man. George H.W. Bush, crashed World War II pilot, man's man, right? Donald Trump, man's man in a different way in that he's a street fighter, right? And he's as smart as a businessman. And you see all these cases being thrown at him and the fact that he's a Russian pawn, all these things for 9 years and the guy's still standing and fighting. So we just want more people to fight for us. And Joe Biden says he fights for us. But this week, he had nothing on his schedule because he was preparing for a speech that was written for him, as you said. And then this weekend, he'll go back to Delaware and we'll see him, if it's warm enough, on a beach chair, just laying back. You're like, no, that's not a man's man right there. So I wish I knew what the answer was. But I think overall, just to go into government, after what happened to Brett Kavanaugh, my dad said to me recently, he's like, you should run for Senate in New Jersey. You could be Cory Booker. I'm like, well, never, ever am I going to get into politics. But even I thought about it, I'm like, I don't want to go into that business. I mean, what they did to Brett Kavanaugh, they're going back in his high school yearbook 40 years ago. And then people are coming forward at non-existent parties to say that he raped them. It's like, no thanks. Like, who would ever want to go into that spotlight? So I think it's just hard to attract good people, because good people know that every part of their lives will be probably uncovered, and then half of it will be lies and taken out of context anyway.
But also, there just aren't great role models, I think, for young men to look up to. And that's a real problem. I mean, even you mentioned the military. And I think that's one sector that we look at. And our military looks nothing like it used to. I mean, these are the people that were holding responsible for protecting us in the event of conflict, a war. And right now, we're just putting so much emphasis on the DEI measures, on, you know, really, quite frankly, I feel like there's like a feminization of the military, and you're not attracting like those same stereotypical, like really tough dudes before who were excited to get there and enlist and, you know, defend. It's just now we're attracting like a very soft generation I, quite frankly, would be terrified if we got into any type of conflict, because I don't think they would be able to deliver when their names are called. So that's frightening to me. But then just in general, I think just men, the idea of being too masculine is looked so down upon today that men don't feel comfortable being like these alpha males, these strong figures that, again, my father is, my grandfather was, because it's just, it's not acceptable anymore.
I like the fact they gave you the name Charlie. You know, that's like even like kind of like a guy's name, but now it's like more of a girl's name than a guy's name. Just like my daughter Cameron, it's a Cameron, but they're all boy Camerons now. It's very confusing. I just went on a tangent. Sorry about that. But the point is, look what happened. This scared the hell out of me. And I don't get shaken very easily. But the fact, at the end of the year, you had the Secretary of Defense, right? Lloyd Austin. He goes into the hospital, doesn't bother telling anybody. So if we're attacked, who exactly is going to run the Pentagon? And then his backup, to your point, is on vacation in Puerto Rico, just like hanging out. So we basically didn't have anybody running the military for several days, and the president didn't know where he was, not that he would anyway. So no one's having
any. Thank God our enemies didn't know about that.
Oh, I know, right? Well, at that time, they were bombing our troops over in the Middle East as far as those drone attacks from those Iranian proxies. So, yeah, that's what I mean. It's half we're going too feminine, and half we got to hear from Lloyd Austin after all this happens. Well, we're doing a 30-day review to see, to make sure this doesn't happen again. Look, if Charlie, if you didn't feel well last night or I didn't, I would contact, you know, my producer or my boss to say,
yes,
I'm going to be out tomorrow. The Secretary of Defense couldn't even think to do that for 6 days. And by the way, it wasn't like he had a cold. He was getting surgery. And this did not get enough attention. You know what I mean? I mean, this should have scared the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, and his surgeries are generally, and generally, surgeries are generally planned. I mean, I don't know if this was like an emergency, spur of the moment, but generally you've got that on the books for a while. So no excuses there at all. But Joe, back to Riley Gaines being on the podcast, she talked about so many different things, and she spilled some tea. Joe, do you know what that means when you spill the tea?
Give me a refresher.
It's like you share some gossip. She spilled the tea last night on Leah Thomas, because apparently Leah Thomas was sleeping with someone at the exact same time that she decided to identify as a woman and compete on the women's swim team. So listen to what Riley had to say. This is good.
Okay. Does Leah Thompson have sex with girls?
Thompson.
What?
Leah Thomas, rather.
Yeah. At the time. Again, this is what I know based off of what his teammates have told me and what really has been public knowledge based off what they post and different things. At the time of that national championships, he was still dating women and active with women.
Sexually. So obviously has testosterone.
Yes. But now, again, based off of social media, he is engaged to another man who claims to be a woman. So two men, but they call themselves lesbians. So who knows? But
at the time. So if you're on that team, you're a woman and you have a biological male who's intact, who's having sex with women, walking around naked in the locker room with women. And if you're uncomfortable with that, you should educate yourself.
You
and
said
learn
it.
How to use she, her pronouns and accept defeat.
You said it.
To this person that's not a woman.
You said it.
And the whole idea behind Title IX was supposed to be to protect women's sports. It's supposed to be to have a place where women can compete fairly against women.
Yeah.
And because of this insane cult that 45% of the country's in, or whatever it is, you have to deal with this literal mental patient in a woman's sport dominating, and everyone's cheering.
Yes.
And everyone around it that's watching it is upset. All the parents, probably on both teams.
Of course.
All the women that are competing with this man. And the whole world's like, yay, diversity.
Okay, so it gets very convoluted, very confusing, very quickly. But I think it's simple to realize we already knew it was wrong in the first place to allow Leah Thomas to compete on the women's team. But now we have even more details that he was still dating women and then walking around a women's locker room, which obviously if you're attracted to women and you're seeing naked women in the locker room, that's a very uncomfortable situation for the women who are in there. Joe, I know you're the dad of you have one daughter. Do you have more than one daughter? Is it, how many do you have?
A daughter and a son. Yes. So nuclear family.
Daughter and son. Okay. Okay. But as a girl dad, I mean, mm-hmm. How horrific is this to imagine your daughter being put into a situation like Riley Gaines and the rest of her teammates were?
I saw this and I couldn't believe it, Charlie. When my daughter, she's now 10, she had a game last year, 9 years old, and she's playing against a kid who is clearly a boy who thinks he's a girl. And you could tell the parents on the other side and the other team was from more like an urban liberal kind of city environment were all cheering that particular player on harder. Clearly this kid, even at 9, was bigger, was faster. And my daughter comes off and she doesn't know anything from anything. She's 9, you know, I mean, it's about Taylor Swift and soccer basically. And she says, was that a boy that they allowed to play with that team? And I go, you know, I don't know. Maybe I didn't get a good look. Like I almost played dumb. And she's just like, isn't that unfair? And then my wife chimes in and forget about it because she was Division I athlete. You know, she was a track star at Georgetown. And she's like, all I know is if I was racing and I look down the blocks and I got to see somebody who looks like, you know, Christian McCaffrey that I'm about to run against, I know I'm going to lose because it's just like steroids. You don't allow substances that give people a chemical advantage, just like you don't allow chromosome, which also gives you a chemical advantage, to be racing against other chromosomes. And now we even see, Charlie, that you have the Fighting Federation allowing men who think they're women to fight against other women. You're going to get somebody killed, whether it's volleyball. That's what it's going to have to take. And I think Riley said that. What's it going to take? Somebody has to get killed, and then suddenly we realize, oh, this is a bad idea. Either way, congratulations to OutKick, because as you said, it's not like the invitations go out very easily from Joe Rogan to other folks. And
no.
And the fact she got on there just shows you how big her movement has become.
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally with you. And honestly, I've never met your wife, but I already love her. Division I athlete. That's incredible. Good for you, Joe, bagging a Division I athlete. Reproducing with a Division I athlete. I'm waiting to see the careers, the athletic careers that take off with your children. That's incredible. Yeah. Were you an athlete also at one point?
I played high school football and baseball. I played a little bit of baseball in college, but Division III, you know? And here's the thing now, she still stays in shape. And when you get to my age, you're like, you know, what's in the fridge, you know? And you're like, crap, I got to keep up with this athlete in more ways than one. It puts a lot of pressure on you to be like, you know what? You better stay in shape or else you'll be single Joe Concha again. And I can't have that.
You know, we cannot have that, especially not on International Women's Day. We need the strong women to remain in your life. But I definitely would agree. I think that once you are raised with the discipline of being a Division I athlete, I mean, especially also like Riley, that just sticks with you because even Riley, she constantly posts like gym photos and she's in tremendous shape even when she's constantly traveling. Her schedule's busier than, I mean, geez, probably most anyone else's. And I don't know how she does it, but it's inspiring for people like you and me, Joe, who all we want to do is just open up the fridge and see what's in there, because I'm with you. That's kind of where I'm at right now, and I got to kick myself into shape a little bit more because I'm like, summer is coming up, so we got to get things to work. But, Joe, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and being able to touch on all the different subjects that we did.
Always a pleasure. Maybe next time on the show when I join, we could do a little mini version of Sink and Swim, give you a little rematch.
Oh my gosh, don't even remind me, guys. Last time I faced Joe on Sink or Swim, I totally sunk. It was just, it was devastating for me. So I need a redemption moment. So good idea.
Yeah, no, you're going to, I've now awakened a giant. I have a feeling they Paris again. You're going to be prepared, and it's going to be no contest. But I look forward to it, and great
there
to
you
see
go.
You again. And enjoy all the rain in New York City this weekend. You're going to wish you were back in Vegas, or maybe you're traveling. I don't know. But either way, it's going to be a wet one. But
I am traveling, actually.
Oh,
so? All right, Joe. Thank you. I'm going to Indianapolis, my hometown. And actually, no, I'm going to Indianapolis, and it's the rain is in the forecast today and tomorrow. So unfortunately, I'm not escaping the bad weather at all.
All right. Well, good bar scene there anyway, downtown. So I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, and to cap off International Women's Day, we have this gem. This is an absolute gem. It's from a Philly-based pastor named Gino Jennings. He said it last summer, but it's now once again making its rounds on social media, which we are oh so happy about. Listen.
Men in Congress trying to define what a woman is.
That's right.
Do you know this discussion that's going on in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
To entertain the transgender community.
Yeah.
What is a woman?
What is a woman?
It's your mama.
That's right. Plain and simple.
You that confused? Let me come and watch it. I tell you, it's your mama. It sure ain't your daddy.
That's right. Go ahead. That's right.
What is a woman? What's a woman? Your mama.
Your mama. That's right.
President Biden joining in on the conversation.
Mm.
We didn't know what a woman is. A woman is your mama.
That's right. Tell him about Pastor.
That man is past 80, isn't he? He's past 80, right?
I believe so.
You mean to tell me you past 80 and you don't know your mama and your wife?
That's right.
Is a woman?
Lord help us.
So Gino Jennings is my hero, my new role model. He also nailed the Joe Biden impersonation, and he nailed it spot on the head. What is a woman? Your mama. Facts. A woman is one thing and one thing only, someone that is born with the DNA of a woman. There is no disputing that. There's no way around that. That's just how it is, and no one will ever, ever, ever change my mind, and they shouldn't change yours either. The only unfortunate thing about this video is when he says, what is a woman, your mama? There's probably some weirdos out there who said, oh, well, my mama isn't a woman. I mean, listen, the family dynamic now has gotten so out of control that I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who say, well, my wife wasn't born a woman. My mother wasn't born a woman, and I still call them mom and my wife. Well, you're a weirdo. And that's not how it goes, all right? I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I don't care what you like. Great, I support all of you. I actually have no issue with how anyone wants to live their life. I just don't want us to get confused anymore. A woman is a woman is a woman is a woman. A man is a man is a man is a man. That's it. We're going to end the show on that note because there's nothing more to say on the issue except to say, happy International Women's Day to all of the women out there. If you're a man watching this show, make sure you give some special thanks, some credit. where it's due to the important women in your life, maybe just find a random woman on the street. Say thank you. Thank you for being a woman and embodying everything that a woman should be. Just make sure you find an actual woman. Things can get a little cloudy these days. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for being here. This was a fantastic week of shows. I had so much fun with all of you and getting into all of the various topics that we did. I've got a big weekend ahead. I'm headed home to Indianapolis, my annual trip of the year. Who knows, maybe I'll run into our good friend Dan Dockich while I'm there. We'll find out. In the meantime, I'm going to have all different little tidbits flowing through social media, documenting my experience as I travel to the Midwest. So make sure you're following me on social media. That is at Charlie on TV. And with that, everybody, have a wonderful Friday, a fantastic weekend, and I will see you on Monday.